completed my thesis research in 2006 in Rwanda, Africa, in a child survival program that was centrally sponsored by the U.S. Agency of International Development and was implemented by the non-governmental organization World Relief. I had a wonderful time there, and it's a privilege this morning to present to you my study and results. As Dr. Koch indicated, the title of my presentation is Malnutrition, Rehabilitation, and Prevention in Rwandan Children, Examining the Impact and Sustainability of a Rural Intervention. There's an alarming paradox that's unfolding in our world today. As child obesity in developed nations is reaching epidemic proportions, 5 million children are needlessly dying in developing nations because they are underweight. In 2000, the United Nations supported a pledge to reduce child mortality by 2/3 by the year 2015, and this has become known as the Millennium Development Goal number 4. Identifying how malnutrition co-presents with fatal conditions in children is critical to advance this goal, but the tragedy here is that fatal conditions include pneumonia, diarrhea, and infectious diseases, these conditions that are essentially preventable and are exacerbated by malnutrition. So effective nutrition programs need to be identified that reduce undernutrition in children in order to reach this UN goal. The Positive Deviance Hearth Program is one such intervention being used globally. The program is a community-based, volunteer-driven education program that targets moderately malnourished children. In a region with relatively high malnutrition rates, positive deviant mothers who have nourished children are identified. And then region-specific foods and behaviors are identified with the help of these mothers. Then volunteer mothers meet in the community and teach other mothers feeding practices and hygiene for their households. Positive Deviance Hearth has been or is currently being used in 35 countries and possibly more, as it begins to be used every day in different countries. It's also commonly used by the U.S. Agency for International Development and CORE, which is a collaboration of non-governmental organizations and private voluntary organizations. Agencies such as Save the Children have studied and attempted to quantify the overall effectiveness of the PD Hearth model, but there is a continual need to add to the ongoing dialogue about PD Hearth and its country-specific influence. Using quantitative and qualitative data, I conducted a mixed method study to make observations about the Positive Deviance Hearth model's effectiveness in southwest Rwanda. To give you a little bit of background, in 2001, the NGO World Relief began a 5-year child survival program, again supported by the USAID, in southwest Rwanda. It was an integrated program incorporating other child health interventions, but PD Hearth was the approach chosen to address malnutrition. And there was nearly a 35% malnutrition rate in that region. PD Hearth was implemented in late 2003 and then was concluded in 2006 in the context of the Child Survival Program, and I conducted my research in the summer of 2006 at the end of the program. Rwanda is a landlocked country the size of Rhode Island with a population of 7.5 million and is one of the most densely populated countries in Africa. A genocide occurred there in 1994 where over 800,000 people died in less than 100 days, but the country now is politically stable and experiencing growth. The target area of the child survival program was in southwest Rwanda in the Nyamasheke district, located along the shores of Lake Kivu. The Nyamasheke district is about 5,000 feet above sea level, and like most of Rwanda, is mountainous, hilly, and tropical. The majority of families are subsistence farmers and earn money from cash crops such as beans, cassava, and rice. And at the beginning of the child survival program, there were 33,000 women in the region and 24,000 children. My study was conducted within the framework of addressing the three primary goals of the Positive Deviance Hearth intervention, which is the rehabilitation of malnourished children, the prevention of malnutrition in the community, and the empowerment of families to sustain good nutritional status with local resources. In the first part of the study, addressing rehabilitation, my first objective was to calculate project-wide rehabilitation rates in order to discern the effectiveness of PD Hearth to rehabilitate children in the project area. Secondly, I calculated the differences between regional rehabilitation rates in order to identify regions with significantly high or low rehabilitation rates. And then I examined variables in a cross-sectional study that were associated with good nutritional status in Positive Deviance Hearth participants. In the second part of the study, addressing the prevention of malnutrition in the target area, The first objective was to compare the nutritional status of the younger siblings of PD Hearth participants with the nutritional status of younger siblings of non-PD Hearth participants in the same region. This was to try to discern the effectiveness of the PD Hearth program to prevent malnutrition in the region. I also compared differences between the characteristics of siblings of PD Hearth participants versus the siblings of the non-participants in order to identify variables significantly correlated or that may have been significantly correlated to the Positive Deviance Hearth program. In the third part of the study, which employed qualitative methods, my objective was to categorize responses of focus groups in themes related to sustainability of positive deviance hearth in the target area. And I did the same thing with interviews as well. There were 67 focus groups conducted and 5 interviews with health system workers, 1 hospital director, and 4 health clinic directors. And the purpose of this was to discern the effectiveness of PD Hearth to empower the community and implement sustainable behavior change over time. In the first part of the study, statistical analysis consisted first of calculating mortality, dropout, and rehabilitation rates from a retrospective cohort data set. Then one-tailed binomial distribution was used to calculate difference across regions, and univariate and bivariate logistic regression analyses of variables that may have impacted rehabilitation were conducted using a cross-sectional data set. The dependent variable was nutritional status, and the independent variables fell into one of 3 categories: frequency data, socioeconomic factors, and proximal factors. These factors were determined after a study done in 2005 by Smith, Ruel, and Nidier. The second part of the statistical analysis regarding prevention employed chi-square analysis to compare the nutritional status of siblings of PD Hearth participants versus the siblings of non-participants. And chi-square and multivariate logistic regression analysis were employed to examine the association between nutritional status and the independent variables indicated in the last slide. In the third part of the study, focus group responses were counted and grouped according to the frequency of response, following the study of qualitative data related to PD Hearth in Vietnam, conducted by Hendrickson and friends in 2002. Themes related to empowerment and sustainability were graphed, reported in the results, and interpreted in the discussion. I have handouts here if you're interested in seeing how that played out visually in the actual report. Different themes were addressed, including the application of health behaviors learned at Positive Deviance Hearth meetings, whether or not PD Hearth participants shared new behaviors with others in their community, whether meetings would continue after the close of the actual child survival program, what community support had been given to the PD Hearth program, and the strengths and the weaknesses of the PD Hearth program as perceived by the community. Moving on to results. They were very encouraging. The Positive Deviance Hearth program was considered a successful approach in rural Rwanda to rehabilitate children, with a mean rehabilitation rate of 67.8%. 2 regions in the target area had significantly lower rehabilitation rates than the mean, the lowest being a 49% rehabilitation rate. And 3 regions had a significantly higher rehabilitation rate, the highest being 81% rehabilitation. In Yove, which was the region that had the lowest rehabilitation rate, in post-study interviews, we found that the low rate was impacted by factors listed here: personnel turnover, poor geographical location, poor socioeconomic conditions, poor education levels, and poor family structure. Now, there were no variables related to frequency data that were associated with good nutritional status. But socioeconomic status, particularly household economic status, was associated with good nutritional status, as might be expected. And proximal factors that were significantly associated with good nutritional status were the frequency of feedings, the timing of breastfeeding following birth, and childhood illness, specifically diarrhea and fever. And post-study interviews and qualitative data supported these findings. Regarding the second part of the study, malnutrition prevention, there was actually no significant difference indicated between the intervention and comparison groups. Thank you. These results may have meaning, however, because 100% of the intervention families, by nature of the study design, had at least 1 malnourished child within the past 3 years. The comparison group likely reflected the malnutrition rate of the entire community, which ranged from 35.2% at the beginning of the study to 20.5% at the end of the child survival program. Therefore, because findings showed very similar nutritional status between the groups, this may indicate that the PD HEARTH program did help prevent malnutrition in the intervention group. In other analyses, there were two socioeconomic variables associated with PD HEARTH participation: whether or not the mother was comfortable with the amount of food given to the her child, and whether or not there was a latrine or toilet on the property. And both these variables indicate that participant mothers had learned what was what had been imparted to them in the community education program. In the third part of the study, there were many encouraging findings regarding empowerment and sustainability in the community. Nearly 100% of participants in the PD HEARTH program applied the health behavior changes they learned at the meeting, shared the lessons with other community members, particularly their neighbors. Intrinsic motivation for health behavior change was often reported, and participant ownership was often surfacing as a common theme in the qualitative data. There was also strong community support of PD HEARTH. There were, however, divergent perspectives about the sustainability of PD HEARTH at a program level. Program recipients and community volunteers overwhelmingly said yes, they would continue meeting together, yes, they would continue the health behavior, but speaking with supervisors in the upper levels of the child survival program and also with the health clinic directors and hospital directors, they were a little more skeptical about whether or not they would be able to maintain the supervisory levels that they felt were required in the Positive Deviance HEARTH program. So time will tell. As far as recommendations and future research, based on these findings, I had a few suggestions for future implementation of Positive Deviance HEARTH programs. First of all, regarding rehabilitation, because of food security issues and poverty issues that continually surfaced in the study, I think it would be important to introduce microfinance programs simultaneously with the Positive Deviance HEARTH program where possible. Regarding prevention of malnutrition, definitely further research into the preventive effects of Positive Deviance HEARTH would need to take place, taking familial history into account. And it would be important to research the dispersion effect of PD HEARTH as well. Regarding empowerment and sustainability, it would be wonderful to be able to return to the project area in the future to conduct research on the lasting effects of the Positive Deviance HEARTH program. And I think it's critical to establish an exit strategy for the conclusion of the PD HEARTH agency who's implementing the program to oversee transitions into the community at a supervisory level, as well as a participant level. I would also highly recommend budgeting for the gathering of longitudinal data for more sophisticated data analysis in all USAID child survival programs. I also believe that where control and intervention groups are ethical, they need to be established and be in place. And policy changes may need to occur in time to effectively achieve Millennium Development Goal number 4. One way that we can all be involved, this is a shameless plug, but one way we can all be involved in child survival programs globally is to advocate. The U.S. Coalition for Child Survival is working hard to get the Global Child Survival Act moving through the House and the Senate right now. And if you go to the APHA or UNICEF website, you can find out more information about that. Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge my committee at Cal State Fullerton, my program, all the program staff in Rwanda, and also the director of the World Relief Child Survival Programs in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you.